Good day. This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The KUAF website giveaway is offering a pair of season tickets to the 2013 Walton Arts Center 10x10 Art Series. One winner will receive a pair of tickets to each of the 10 shows. Performances include Onda Union, Los Angeles Guitar Quartet, Chucho Valdez, and more. The drawing will be held this Friday, September 27th, during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and more information available at our website, KUAF.com. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, how the history of Arkansas was written. We speak with two of the four authors of Arkansas, A Narrative History. The book covers the formation of the Ozark Mountains to Governor Mike Beebe. Plus, our regular installment of Arkansas, and Becca Martin Brown tells us what's up. But first, the final details and construction approvals are coming together for the Big River Steel Project in East Arkansas. Roby Brock of Arkansas Talk Business spoke last week with John Corinti, lead developer and investor of the billion-dollar super project.
Well, basically what happened on Thursday is the Department of Environmental Quality approved an air permit for the $1.1 billion Big River Steel super project up in Osceola. That is the last real big hurdle that needed to be okayed in terms of regulation and state authority to build that big project. Now everything turns its attention to the financing, which will be privately funded for the most part from a variety of different European and national banks. And with this air permit in hand now, the project's got a green light to go.
Construction is expected to begin in late November of this year and take about 20 months to complete. Central Arkansas Water says it may file a lawsuit against ExxonMobil, as well as the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. The utility company has requested safety information since April, signed a confidentiality agreement in late August, and has yet to receive access to the information about the Pegasus pipeline, which ruptured in March. The pipeline runs through the Lake Maumelle watershed, which is the region's source of drinking water. John Tynan, with Central Arkansas Water, says they want to work with ExxonMobil, but said Friday a lawsuit will be filed if they don't get the information.
Exxon has constantly claimed that the information that we've requested is not subject to disclosure because of either security or proprietary related issues. And CAW has been diligently working with Exxon to try and address their concerns, but at the same time fulfill our obligation to get that information and figure out a path forward for protecting the watershed before this pipeline restarts.
ExxonMobil has insisted the pipeline won't be restarted until it can be done so safely. A series of community meetings in Washington County will begin tomorrow. The meetings will be hosted by the Beaver Watershed Alliance. John Pennington, director of the Alliance, says the meetings are being held in the West Fork watershed of the White River.
The goal of these meetings is to get the watershed residents, landowners, and decision makers engaged in understanding more about the West Fork watershed, why it is currently listed as impaired for its entire reach, and what actions might be able to be put into place to help the river recover.
Pennington says changes in land use over the past several years, notably the introduction of Interstate 540 into the watershed, have created issues with increased runoff and sedimentation in the West Fork watershed. He says the West Fork of the White River has been listed as an impaired waterway for quite some time.
You know, this isn't anything new, but what is new is that there is an organization that's wanting to work with the landowners to further investigate the causes of the impairment, but also potential solutions. And so really that's why we're carrying out these meetings, is to combine the scientific research that exists with local input from people that live in the watershed and might have some understandings that have never been captured in a scientific document.
In addition, Pennington says the meetings will also serve as an opportunity to communicate the water quality issues to local stakeholders and to offer best management practices that could positively impact water quality in the West Fork watershed. The first meeting will take place tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 at the Greenland Community Center. For a full schedule of meetings in the West Fork watershed, visit our website, ozarksatlarge.com. September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month across the nation. And though the month is nearly over, Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe reminded Arkansans in his weekly radio address that mental health disorders can affect persons of any age, race, religion, or income, and that suicide is the 10th highest cause of all deaths in the United States.
It is estimated that nearly 5 million Americans have lost a loved one to suicide. In Arkansas alone, 400 suicides took place last year, ranking the state 15th nationwide. It's important to know which groups of people are at most risk. While the suicide rate remains highest for adults 75 years of age and older, our veterans are also at an increased risk, and the suicide rate for those aged 15 to 24 has more than doubled since the 1950s. In fact, among Arkansans ages 15 to 24, suicide is the second leading cause of death.
Governor Beebe says earlier this year, 37 state agencies, organizations, foundations, and professionals jointly formed the statewide suicide prevention initiative, and that in 2010, his office, in conjunction with the State Attorney General's Office, the Arkansas National Guard, the Arkansas Crisis Center, and the Division of Behavioral Health, founded the Arkansas Suicide Prevention Network. Work has begun on replacement of a drainage structure at the Locust Avenue and 9th Street intersection in Fayetteville. The construction will improve storm drainage capacity in association with the city's Frisco Trail Southern Extension to Walker Park. Through the duration of the project, which is expected to wrap up on October 18th, the intersection will be closed to through traffic, though access to adjacent residences and businesses will be maintained. The Community Blood Center of the Ozarks is holding two blood drives this week in Fayetteville. Tomorrow, the Washington County Courthouse will host a blood drive between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And on Wednesday, the drive will be held from 9 a.m. to noon on the downtown Fayetteville Square. Recent rain has curbed wildfires in some parts of Arkansas, but agricultural experts say those showers will do little to improve conditions in areas suffering from extreme drought conditions. Dr. John Berry is a forester and volunteer firefighter in southwestern Arkansas. As a specialist with the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture, Berry says hay fires in some pastures can be difficult to extinguish, and some hay bales can spontaneously combust.
There are two types of problems that we see with hay bales. One is when they're not properly dried before they're stored in the barn. If they're stacked in the barn before they're properly dried, then they start generating their own heat and can generate enough heat to set themselves on fire in the barn. The other issue is when a farmer is baling hay and something starts a fire in the hay field, and as it burns across the field, it will set the bales of hay on fire.
Last week, a load of hay caught fire while being hauled on a trailer along Highway 71 in Scott County. But Berry says fires usually start in a hay field when a baler hits a rock and creates a spark. Mechanical problems with a baler can also set a hay bale on fire while it's in the machine, and that blaze can then spread once the bale comes in contact with loose hay on the ground. The Washington County Sheriff's Office announced this morning that the red flag fire warning issued on September 10th has been lifted. According to the National Weather Service, the monitoring station at Drake Field has observed more than 2.8 inches of rainfall since the red flag warning was issued, but the area is still a few inches below the average year-to-date precipitation totals. Forecast this evening calls for partly cloudy skies with overnight lows from 52 in northwest Arkansas to 58 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, your Tuesday, mostly sunny with highs from 78 to 83. And tomorrow evening, mostly clear with lows from 52 to 58.